my question is in Matthew 23, verse 9. And it says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." And my question is, what can we call our earthly father?
Now, what the Bible actually says is, "Call no man your father," is talking about spiritually speaking. And do you know why he meant that? He was speaking prophetically. Because at that time, they were not addressing servants of God as father. The juggernauts, we are called rabbis. Rabbi. But when it comes, when while Jesus was speaking, he was looking at our time. Because now, we have Reverend Father. Now, we have, you know, people who also lord themselves over the people and assume the position of final say concerning you. They place themselves. What that scripture is warning you is that always remember that you have a father in heaven, and he alone you should look up to as the final say, the author and finisher of your faith. Yes, when somebody through him you give your life to Christ, Apostle Paul called Timothy my son in the Lord. So Timothy can refer to him too as my father in the Lord, because through him he gave his life to Christ. But when it comes to relationship now, until he has the type of authority that earthly fathers have over their children, over you, they decide what you should do and what you should not do, and what they say is final. God is saying, don't have that type of relationship with anybody except God in heaven.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Sister Esther from Kogi, God bless you, sir. Can a pastor who was not baptized in the name of Jesus have the right to baptize in that name? The truth is, even the law of redemption says you must be free before you can redeem one who is in bondage. A prisoner cannot release another prisoner. So you must go and baptize first. That is evident. He himself, he believes it. Then he will now come and baptize others. God bless you.
My question is, peace between the Israel and the Middle East nations.
Whether you pray for peace between
yes,
them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Of course, we will continue to pray.
Knowing, sir, that...
the Bible tells us that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He said we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So, because God is interested in Jerusalem, Satan too is interested in Jerusalem. So one of the things that we keep Jerusalem from attack is our prayers, that we cause God to remember his covenant with Jerusalem. So we continue to pray for them. Yes.
But sir, just a minute, sir. But concerning the door of salvation or the dispensation of the grace, the presently in God's agenda for the salvation is for the Gentiles. But for the time of the Jews is coming.
Can I ask you this question? Okay, let me not waste time. See, when it comes to salvation, do you know that there's a book of life? Do you know about the book of life? Answer me so that
Yes, sir.
You know about the book of life? When were the names written there? Answer
the
me.
The names of the 12 tribes of... Okay, the book of life, well, is for that's the names of those that are redeemed.
Where was it written?
It was written for those that...
When?
Oh, no. I don't know when it was written. The book of life, because Bible talked God told us about the books where was opened, the book of life also, and the names and those that their name is not found there were cast into.
Which one do you worship?
Restoration, sir.
That's the name of the church?
Yes, sir.
The book of life according to the Bible. Okay. He doesn't know it. Open Revelation chapter 13. Read it.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
From when? When was the book of life is from when? From when?
From the foundation of the world.
Go to Revelation 17, verse 8.
And the beast that thou swearest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition.
Let me read it. And you go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names we are not written in the book of life. When?
From the foundation of the world.
From the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1. See, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him the day we gave our life to Christ. When did he choose us in him? Before the foundation of the world. He chose us before the foundation of the world. So the book of life has names of the people that will be saved through Christ Jesus. Their names were written by God. And how? What qualifies your name there? By foreknowledge. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow. Foreknowledge. He did predestinate. Now, why I ask that is, if God already knows those who will be saved, why is he still saying, go to the world and preach the gospel to all nations? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why is he preaching again? Eh?
Because
you don't know why.
No, because God have already known them.
So I'm just saying it's the same reason. It's the same reason why we must pray for Jerusalem, pray for Israel. It is by prayer that God fulfills his agenda. He ordained it like that. God bless you. Yes.
Sir, I really appreciate the grace of God upon your life.
Thank you.
I came here for just 1 week break, and this 1 week alone, there are mysteries in this Bible that I've discovered.
Hey,
your teachings.
Clap your hands to church.
Hallelujah.
You came on break from where?
States, sir.
From Benue. God bless you.
One of it is about the baptism, of which I've actually corrected it.
Amen.
And so when I went home, I tried to talk one of my brother into, as in tell him that it's a wrong baptism and the right one. And then the question he now asked me was that, then as in, if we say we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name was Jesus Christ baptized?
Praise the Lord. Now listen, for two reasons, 2 points you have to take note. Number one, Jesus Christ was not baptized for the remission of sins. He had no sin in him. But when he came to John the Baptist to be baptized, John saw him and said, you should be the one baptizing me, not me baptizing you. And he made a statement. He said, suffer it to be so now. Permit it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. What did he mean by that? Now this is revelation. It is because the same John had seen him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And he was speaking about the sacrificial lamb, the ordinance of the sacrificial lamb for the atonement of sin. And if he is the one that is the lamb that will be slain for the remission of the sin of the world, then the law says before the lamb is sacrificed, the lamb goes through purification. He is washed. So he is coming to fulfill all righteousness, to be washed so that he can go and be sacrificed. So that is another mystery you are knowing again now.
Sir, and also from Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, John the Baptist speaking, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I." Now John the Baptist baptized them unto repentance. And from the Bible now, in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38 also, and Jesus Christ saying, "You're baptized for the remission of sin in the name of Jesus Christ." And this John was baptizing before the coming of Jesus, and he was baptizing unto repentance. So also, in what name was John baptizing unto repentance? And also concerning the question the other brother asked about the foundation of the world, I actually went into an argument with somebody some time ago about it, because the guy said the name was already in the Bible, as it was already written from the foundation, of which I never knew it was in the Bible because he didn't show me. But then I got to know it from you. Now the Bible says God sent his son to come and die for mankind. If God has actually selected and written the names of those that will make it in heaven, why is it that he will have to send his son so that everybody will have the access to go through it? Else, if it had been that everybody at the end, the written names have already been chosen, then it would have been that at least those ones would just remain like that. He wouldn't have sent his son to come and die for everybody.
Which church do you attend in Benue?
Assemblies of God Church, sir.
Do you confront your pastors there with questions when you study the Bible?
Yes, sir.
And they answer you very well?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes, sir.
So even if I don't answer all now, you are used to it. But I will answer all, because every Bible question has Bible answer. Hallelujah. Sorry, the first question you said, the first question...
John said he indeed baptized with water unto repentance.
Yeah, so which name was he baptizing?
Yes, since Jesus was as he had not yet come. And
now, in Israel, the process of purification was always with water. For every purification, you purify it by the washing of water. You wash it with water. Now, Israel had turned totally away from even the law. And Isaiah told them that they have forsaken him, the fountain of living water, and have hewed to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They had left the word of God and begin to teach for commandments doctrine of men. And God had to send Elijah, which is John the Baptist, Matthew 11 tells also, to call their attention to it. So they have to repent from all their errors and get themselves ready for what God was about to do. They believed the gospel that John was preaching. And if you believe, the sign that you believe is go and wash yourself from all the nonsense you are doing. So it was part of the rituals that went with the law. So it is not about the name. Now, even Christ himself could not be baptized in a name because they were under the old covenant. And the old covenant was a covenant that was sealed with the sign of the circumcision. But this new covenant, the Bible says that a will is of no effect. I think that is also with the lawyers. The law of testation. Where is it? No lawyer, no day here. The law of testation tells us that the will comes into effect only after the testator is dead. So Apostle Paul also brought that out. And so as long as Christ was still alive, the New Testament was not in effect. Until he died and resurrected, the New Testament took effect. And it is only in the New Testament that we have the lamp under which blood our sins are remitted. And it is the Lamb of God himself, Christ, the Son of God. So that name became effective only in the New Testament, the New Covenant. That's why we baptize in his name. And he is the one that gave us that. Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So he is the door to the Father. Therefore, you have to baptize in his name, accepting what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. Okay, and this is that all? The second question? Any other question?
Yes, the third question that I talk about, the era of grace. That since the Bible said the names of those that will make it to heaven have been written from the foundation of the world. And then we are so many of us in this world. And then since God saw that sin separated him from man, he had to send his son to come and die for us so that we'll repent and then we'll be reconciled back to the Father.
Yes.
So since he has already written the name from the beginning and man had already fallen, he would have just allowed it that way, but then he sent his son.
So okay. Praise the Lord. God himself operates by principle. God himself operates by principle. In the message I preached, I titled The Divine Agenda, we saw how it went. And even when I preached about the book of Revelation, I tried to bring out something that when the Bible says that the Old Testament is a shadow of the things to come, it's something that you have to know, that this earth also, let's go back a little bit, this earth did not start existing from Genesis chapter 1. It existed maybe millions of years before man was created. So only God knows what has been happening in this earth before man was created. This self-existing being called God is self-existing, he's sovereign, and whatever he does it for his purpose and he does it for his pleasure. And so you have to know that this God is omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent. He knows 1 million years from today, correct? Answer with microphone so that we shall flow together.
Yes, sir.
Did God know before your mother, got married to your father,
yes,
that
sir,
today you'll be standing here?
Yes, sir.
Did he know?
Yes, sir.
Fine. When God was creating serpents, did he know that this thing he's creating is going to change the agenda?
Yes, sir.
He knew. Then you can also ask, why didn't he stop creating the serpent? You see? But God himself had written a script. Oh my. Glory. Hallelujah. God himself. Do you know anything about movie? You know movie? You know drama?
Yes, sir.
You know you always have a producer, a director?
Yes, sir.
You know somebody who writes the script is different from the person who directs, is different from the person who produces. Thank you very much. So that you will understand what the Holy Ghost is. Amen. And who the script writer is. And God himself, at his own appointed time, decided, he wrote a script. I will, how he will get man. He will create man. I will give him a wife. But while I am doing that, I know Satan will come and tempt her to fall. But I will not stop it. He's not the one that puts serpent to. I know he will do it, but I will not stop it. I will make him think that he has succeeded. But at the end, I will collect my own back. Now, this is how it will go. Praise the Lord. And he began to stage it. And began to stage it. And every story in the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. Immediately, Genesis 3 verse 15, immediately man fell. Listen to the judgment. It says that the seed, thy seed, serpent, shall bruise. How did he put it? Verse 15. Genesis chapter 3. Let me not misquote it. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. This is where the judgment is. And I will put enmity between thee. He's talking to the serpent and the woman. Now see where I'm going. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that seed, Galatians chapter 4, Apostle Paul told us, that seed is Christ. Because Christ is the seed of the woman, no man fathered him. That's why it's referred to as the seed of the woman. And when will they finally settle this matter? He dealt with the seed of the woman on the cross. But the seed of the woman will deal with him at the end. Hallelujah. When he will throw him into the lake of fire and finish everything plus him and his works and come and take over the earth. So that is it. So even from Genesis there, Christ was already provided for. Praise the Lord. So any other thing you see happening was just the script being played. Being played out. Being played out. Now, he does all this according to foreknowledge. By foreknowledge, listen very well. Praise the Lord. Have you considered this scripture in John chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 44? John chapter 6, verse 44. It says, no man, sister, look at the screen. No man can come to me. Jesus Christ is saying it. Just for the purpose of this teaching. Do you know what Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, sister? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus Christ says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest. Come unto me. That's what he said. All, Abby. The same Bible again says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The same hymn again now in John chapter 6, verse 44. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now consider that. This same Jesus said, come to me all ye that labor. And then he's coming another scripture and say, but you cannot come except the Father which sent me draw me. In another scripture he says, all that the Father hath given me. Where did he give him? From the foundation of the world. He said, will come to me. He said, and I lose none of them. And I will raise them up at the last day. So salvation is so mysterious. But the mystery about it is broken down like this. In Romans chapter 9, Apostle Paul was talking about two children, twins that were in the womb of Rebecca. While they were still in the womb, the Spirit of the Lord said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. while they are still in the womb. Why did he say so? We go back to that same call. Nobody can come to Christ except the Father draw you, call you. Although he said, come. You can't come. Now, who are those that he called? Why did he call you and not call your other friend? Or even some of us, even the same father, same mother. Now, we see it in Romans chapter 8, where he says, verse 28, for all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Take note, we are called according to his purpose. The reason I say this is because Pharaoh was called of God. Cyprus was called of God. Even Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, but as far as salvation is concerned, because Apostle Paul was making reference to salvation, then Apostle Paul, for to make us understand verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow. He wants to tell you those that he called. For whom he did foreknow. From the foundation of the world, he knows something concerning you. He knows something concerning me. I know something concerning my Elijah brother, same father. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Your destination, your destiny was determined before you were formed. Amen. You know, when I see myself like this, oh my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, correct? Them he called. And whom he called, he justified and glorified. Justification there, when he calls you, he will take you through the process whereby your sins are remitted. Correct water baptism. And then he is glorified. He baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. And that is the seal, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, grieve not the Holy Ghost whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Foreknowledge of what? That is where we come to understand John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Which Word? It is actually Logos, thought. In the beginning was a thought, and the thought was with God, and that thought became flesh. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is the thought? The thought that he has there, Logos, the thought there, was that he saw himself creating man and man falling, and he saw billions of people going to hell. The soul that sinners shall die. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So he saw everyone going to hell that God had prepared for Lucifer and those fallen angels. Because Lucifer has come to collect all of them to go. But God, in his foreknowledge, he saw two groups of people there. He saw one group that no matter how he will reveal himself to them, they will never repent like Cain. And he saw another group, depending on whatever condition he will use, if he reveal himself to them, they will repent and they will serve him. And mercy was projected. In his foreknowledge, he saw them. Since they will believe, therefore let him make a way of escape for them. Verse 8 of chapter 13, Revelation, it says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb as far as God was concerned, Christ's sacrifice was already done from the foundation of the world. Where? In his thoughts. In the agenda that he had. And he released, therefore, the program to save everyone that he knew will obey. Right from the time of Noah. Right from the time of Enoch. He knew all of them that would believe, because even Cain was given opportunity to repent. He refused to repent. He knew all of them. So everyone, because of them, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word there, the Logos there, is how he will save those that we believe. And that Logos is Christ, that he made provision, that we go to the cross. And that thought became flesh in the womb of Mary, that finally went to the cross to fulfill that agenda. So anybody that will be saved, it is not God that is making you, forcing you to be saved. It is God knowing that the same opportunity given to everybody on earth, some will accept it, some will reject it. So he said, go and preach to the whole world, whosoever believe, so that if you see yourself going to hell, you have no excuse, because the same opportunity you had, another prostitute had the same opportunity, she repented. So that anybody going to hell, you will know you are going willingly. You chose that way. Because God gave everybody opportunity to be saved. So he is not being partial. It is true for knowledge that he has listed us, and we are the reason he sent the Lord Jesus to the cross of Calvary. And if your name is there, nothing will happen to you. You will not die until you are saved. See why I'm happy about it? Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wondrous.